Welcome to the Fabric Podcast and the last episode of AKA God, where Greg Meyer and Brother Timothy, AKA Tim Franzik, help us get curious about how we each conceptualize God. We hope you'll take this moment to wonder with us. It's worth using that limiting language to see where we are with these concepts and then to keep wondering, even when that language doesn't seem to quite capture it anymore.
Hey, good morning, Fabric. I'm Greg Meyer. Good to see you all here. We've been talking for these last weeks about something called AKA God, also known as God. Like, how are all the ways we all build these God boxes we live in, and we need them because we have to be able to talk and think about all this God stuff. But we also know that it's always really limiting. And so our God boxes, if you want to talk about it, are always in a state of being torn down and put up. So the big quiz, and you can answer this on your communication card, is the room being torn down yet, or is it still being put together? Or is there really a difference between the two? So that's the idea. We're just trying to make an unfinished idea.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to be here with you, Greg, and I love this community. I get to join you a few times a year, at least, and I love it. I go by Brother Timothy out in the music world because it's not a religious term. It's that I hope and want to suggest that we're all related siblings, and we can also suggest that to the trees and the river that flow through here. And so our siblingness is here with us. I love this noble work of redefining something as big or small as God.
Simple, I think, or complex.
Yeah, and that whole redefinition is in the culture right now on so many levels. It's such noble and important work, I think. So I wanted to bring a couple of thoughts. I was listening. One of my heroes is John O'Donohue. He passed away in 2008 or 7. He, like Krista Tippett, did a great interview with him a couple different times. But I was listening to an interview, and he said this recently. And he was a Catholic priest for a long time and then left that and became more of a poet and philosopher. And he said that people have left the God question. He was talking about people leaving, you know, their religion. Basically, that's what's happening in Europe, and that's what's happening here. People have left the God question because it's been so poorly framed by our culture. The God question has been so poorly framed in my own heart and in our culture. And I just want to, I'm going to bring that up, if I can remember, a few times this morning. I think that's a statement. And then other than that, it's Easter week. Geez, we get this opportunity. Our familiar story, our God, is going to die on Friday. We have the opportunity to take it as a ritual and let the unhelpful parts, and we don't always know what those are, but say a prayer, a mystical prayer. All the unhelpful parts of God, goodbye, go away on Friday. And the ones that rise up, whatever rises up on Sunday morning, can be something new and shining in this time for us.
New and shiny and full of hope and promise and worth chasing down.
Yeah.
At least until you find out they were leading you someplace else. Mm-hmm. Maybe to another death and resurrection. But
yeah.
The last couple of weeks, we have been looking like that. Those three letters, G-O-D, we use them. And my experience is that the majority of our neighbors and our family members and maybe a majority of our own selves have tuned, as I've said, tuned out and are turned off by God talk. Because we know what people think, and it's way too superficial. It's way too nice and tidy, and we disagree and have arguments, and we just, like, forget it. It's not worth it. But I don't think this longing for life to make sense and for that something to connect us and to make things real is there. So how can we explore that? And we've talked the last couple of weeks about how the Bible's vision of what God is so much bigger than what we've reduced it to. And if we could just, like, start to capture what's actually there, it starts just blowing things open for us and making these wonderful frontiers. And then, like I said, it's also, it's just so loaded with baggage that it isn't God talk as per se isn't effective anymore. So how can we claim something for ourselves and explore that? And we've talked about the last couple of weeks, and this is a kind of a workshop. This is a chance for each of us to figure out, like, what could die and what might rise again. And we're not trying to turn this into a big, heady thing. You know, you're not going to all walk out of here with your systematic theology, and that's maybe even part of the problem. But to have different types of experiences that help you understand where you're at, and what feels lively? What can we learn from each other a little bit? So we're going to give you a couple of different experiences, and we're kind of going things. So we've got this great musician, Tim, Brother Tim, who's with us today, and we're hardly going to do any music. And it's partly because we don't have to do music, but partly because he's also got laryngitis. So, you know, that's okay. We can roll with this stuff, right? So we've got a great morning figured out for us. And what I would like us to do is to take our first practice. So you got a Sunday paper when you came in. And if you didn't pick one up because you say, I don't need one, well, you'd need one. So it looks like Melissa's jumping into action to hand them out. So up in the top right corner, there's a head with a bunch of speech bubbles there. And I'd like each of you to take a little bit of time to think about this. The question there is, God is, so this is kind of your baseline. When you just walk in, when someone says God to you, what populates your head and your heart, all right? This isn't just a head thing, this is a head and a heart thing. So these might be ideas, it could be words.
Could be from your childhood, the things that jump into your image, whether you agree with them now or not, and then...
But you know they're there.
Yeah, and yeah, ideas about God.
So take a couple of minutes, and what are the things that fill your head and your heart when you start thinking about God?
I decided to visit my childhood room, and there is a picture of Jesus. Maybe some of you have seen this. And he had his hand on my shoulder. That's who I thought was the guy driving, steering the ship. That was me. And then Jesus had his hand there. And he looked a lot like Bjorn Borg, this Jesus, you know, blonde, blue-eyed. But I was thinking about that picture some, actually.
Yeah. It's mine, too. I thought about... We had a beautiful sanctuary in the church that I grew up in, and it was a fascinating place for a kid just to look and to see everything. And I was always too warm and always a little bit bored.
Yeah.
And always waiting for the parts of the service that I liked, and that does preoccupy me. But if it was a comfortable place, but I have a hard time even, you know, a couple years after my childhood now. Separating my ideas about this, all of this God stuff from how I felt when I was 6 years old, sitting leaning on my mom's shoulder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have a childhood vision. I didn't grow up in a strict church. And so like all of my reflections are like present day.
Yeah.
Like what I'm coming to know as God, because I didn't have a relationship or an understanding really of God up until I came here.
So she was sharing that she didn't grow up in a church and part of a formal religious experience, so didn't have those childhood experiences and was developing it now.
Or what I think God is, so to speak, and then in between the bubbles I put what society or other people may think God is. So some are, like, confusing, problematic, scary, versus, you know, nature, love, speaking softly. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of...
You need a nice point, counterpoint with what society might think, and then his ideas were these beautiful, simpler ideas of God. Okay. Thank you.
Relate to the roller coaster.
Right.
Yeah. One of my thought bubbles was probably colored a little bit by what I said in introducing this, but that the whole God thing is something that I feel often disconnects me. It's really fun going to a party and telling people you're a pastor. You can just imagine some of the conversations. So it can be like a real disconnect for me because I know other people don't see it. And I know that for me to explain what I think about or why I'm a pastor, they don't have that much time. So why even try to go there? But then I also find it you are probably some of the people I'm the most deeply connected with in my life. And it's because of whatever that also known as God thing is. So there's that weird disconnect and super connect. But. Hmm.
Jesse. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
There's God right there, the little baby. And why are little babies more God? They're closer, I think. They just came from the place, maybe.
They haven't picked up all the complications of the world. They are much more simple in their
Yeah.
expressions. Yeah. They start simple, and then we layer stuff on, and hopefully as life goes on, we can start stripping that away again, yeah. Mm. Others?
One thing I wrote was rules, laws, and commandments.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's get back to that. rules, laws, and commandments that you grew up with as a kid.
The other one was forgiving.
Judgmental and forgiving.
Judgmental, forgiven.
So we can have a lot more time for this, so keep working with this. We'd like you to try something else that is going to touch all this a little bit differently. So this is a head, hopefully a heart, but a head and a heart thing, but it's all, but very much a processing and word-oriented stuff. So Tim, can you walk us a different way of thinking about this?
And so one of the things that I do every Saturday morning, and you're all freaking invited because I would love it if you'd come, over at Kieran's Kitchen Northeast in Minneapolis, we sing together. And we call it perfection-free singing because that's exactly what it is. Some people come and don't sing because, of course, half of singing is listening. And then some people come and just sing and make their own harmonies. That's the thing I've started to learn over the years, singing with people, especially if it's improv-y and simple. That sound is like medicine for me in our culture right now. Whoever's singing is bringing themselves, trying to complement, trying to balance, and we make something that we won't make again. And we'll do that now. And I have this simple song. I know there are a few singers here. I would love it if you'd kind of join in and maybe take your mask off. If you're one of the song leaders, there are three or four, and just so people can see your lips. And it's the most simple thing. It comes from a wonderful singer named Deva Pramal. Maybe you know her. She and her husband, Mitten, they do chanting. She's out of Europe somewhere. But he created this beautiful chant. And it's just about the ocean. And then we throw an Alleluia in there, too. So we'll see how this goes. And what I would love is if you feel like it, you could stand where you are. I guess we're in a circle. And during this time, we'll kind of take some time with this. At first, it'll be like a little deer that's starting to stand up and wobbly. And then all of a sudden, it'll get stronger. And you'll find your place in it. If you feel like you want to come to the center and just listen, you will be healed, I promise, if you come to the center and just listen. Because you'll hear the whole community coming at you. And if you're singing, you can listen across the circle. Or listen to your own heart, or however it is. But it's just the simplest act ever. We're all singers when we're that age, and up till about 5 or 6, until we go like, holy crap, maybe I suck. And then we stop singing half the time. So I just want to go back to that time where just feel free with trying stuff. And in community singing, if you try something and it doesn't go well, everybody else is doing pretty well. And so it doesn't suck. You can try stuff. That's the beauty of community. 1, 2.
There is so much magnificence near the ocean. Waves are coming in. Waves are coming in twice as loud. There is so much magnificence. Near the ocean,
yeah,
waves are coming in, waves are
up an octave if you can.
There is so much magnificence. Oh, it's starting to hatch now. Near the ocean, waves are coming in, waves are.
Now listen to this. A really strange harmony.
Here's a poem by Chelan Harkin. The worst thing we ever did was put God in the sky out of reach. Pulling the divinity from the leaf, sifting out the holy from our bones, insisting God isn't bursting dazzlement through everything we've made. A hard commitment to see as ordinary, stripping the sacred from everywhere to put in a cloud man elsewhere. Stripping the sacred from everywhere to put in a cloud man elsewhere, prying closeness, prying closeness from your heart. The worst thing we ever did was take the dance and the song out of prayer. made it sit up straight and cross its legs, removed it of rejoicing, wiped clean its hips way, its questions, its ecstatic yowl, its tears. The worst thing we ever did is pretend God isn't the easiest thing in the universe, available to every soul in every breath.
Just two reflections on that song. I don't know what you experienced of the eternal there or anything. You don't need to know. But two thoughts, hallelujah. We talked the first week particularly, and often you hear me, my favorite way of referring to God is by the name that is introduced in the Old Testament, I am who I am, which is the word Yahweh in Hebrew. And it's what gets translated as the Lord in English, but it's I am who I am. And hallelujah is in Hebrew, hallel, praise, Yahweh, I am who I am, praise, I am who I am. And there's something so simple about those syllables. Tim was talking to me, sharing with me about how the sound is that when you don't use any muscles in your voice and you just let a sound come out, it's the sound. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
I'm a teacher. I'm a grade school teacher often, and I am right now. In first grade at Waldorf School, they teach that the vowels come somewhere from the ether, from the heavens, and the consonants are here of the earth. But it also is taught that, yeah, the ah is the most natural sound. Without any muscles, you can make a ah, as you said in Yahweh, hallelujah, these effortless words.
The other part of that song that we sang was the waves are coming in, the waves are coming in. The tides are relentless. Since the beginning of time, they have never stopped. The moon pulling at the water and moving the water. And we all kind of know that. We recognize that. We can see that. What you maybe don't know, though, that is there are earth tides, too. The moon also pulls on the earth. In fact, New York City rises and falls 14 inches twice every day with its own tide. Did you know that?
Wow, cool.
You didn't know that, and it's going on. It is not part of your reality, but it is part of your reality. There are so many things about how we are, this world and our universe is woven together. That's a technical thing. But God is bigger than G-O-D. Mm-hmm. So hopefully there's a chance to get a little piece of that. We'd like you to take some time writing, drawing to a prompt right now. Okay? And just free form. And the prompt is simply this. The most unlikely place to find God would be. And so the idea is like, name a place, I'll say the New York Stock Exchange. Or how about on a plane that's dropping bombs on Ukraine right now. And so maybe you write that, but then follow that. Well, so what does it mean that God isn't there? And like, why can't God be there? And if God were there, what? Just start chasing that thought down. Is that simple enough?
Yeah, and I think, let me interject one twist to this idea. So I'm a lover of like almost automatic writing, like try to let your hand go ahead of your brain. Start with this prompt that Greg gave you about where you don't think God would be, most unlikely place, but then just let it go. See where it goes into your life, away from your life. Let the words come. And I want to, with that writing, to be writing the whole time with your non-dominant hand. So then you're going from the other side of the brain. So it'll slow you down a little in a good way, too. But keep the pen moving, and let's just have fun with this and write.
I'm going to bring you back. Looking at the clock here. I'm hoping you find that interesting. I noticed that I have a cramp in my left hand now. halfway through, I realized if I start writing right to left, it works much easier. was twice as fast and still not legible. But this, the awkwardness and the slowness of it, before I could even finish the line, the most unlikely place to find God, my whole frame of thinking about the question, and I'd had a lot of time thinking about this question ahead of time, changed. Huh? It's like, I don't know that. What did you have anything pop up at you?
Well, I always find myself back in about first grade, you know. The letters are so big and hard to make. I enjoy that. And I like to see what comes.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear from anyone if they were surprised. You can read your thing, and maybe there's even just one line that was like, whoa, that's good, or that's poignant, or that's ugly. And maybe you want to share that with us. You're free to at this point. Yeah.
It's the easy out, but uh-huh. Hard to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a social worker, and part of my job is to flip and look from the other angle, mm-hmm. and where is the good in there? And that's, I guess, then where I do see God.
So
talking with my kids about war and looking for the good moments. Mr. Rogers points that out.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers. Yeah, so... tell
but
me
it's
your
hard to see it sometimes.
Yeah, and your name is
Jessie.
Jessie is a social worker, and in her job, she has to flip the story and to see where there's good in, or a silver lining, or however that works.
Mm-hmm. Because the temptation to see evil as a place, but somehow God has to be there, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there has to be. Yeah.
Thank
other
you.
Thoughts? Jesse. We're just hearing from Jesse's this morning, by the way.
If your name is Jesse, get ready.
I started with Putin, and then that went to right wing sympathizers. And that went to churchgoers. They are churchgoers, a lot of more churchgoers. And then that went to brainwashed to believe. And then that went down to pastors have immense power to tell the truth.
So you made it all the way from Putin to this room. That's good.
Oh, yeah, following that chain from the obvious to more seemingly innocent and the weight that we all have.
So I've always kind of felt like it was hard for me to think of a place because I've always felt like you find God kind of in the darkest places. So I kind of went with more like actions like oppression and hate and greed and selfishness, racism and
So actions like hate, racism, oppression, places you wouldn't expect to find God. Thank you.
A poem?
A poem, good.
Okay. And it's based on the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, wow. If you want to talk, I don't know how we do this.
Here, let me give her this one.
Yeah.
Can you make this one live?
I don't know.
That's all right.
It's so great, though, when you get a poem like in the last 5 minutes, then everyone has this sort of forgiveness factor, right? I mean, just go for it. It's awesome.
All those men and women working for money where meaning used to be. What hole did we create when we said, don't cry, be like Batman? How can we love you back to wholeness? There was a minute, a time, when you called your wives, your kids, your mom, when you hugged your coworker with no slaps on the back, held them in your eyes for maybe the first time, and said, I love you.
I guess church is over. Yeah. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for just tossing it out there. It just came to you. It's great.
You have had a goosebump moment with God, a time when there was an aha, an insight, a metaphor that just came alive. And to use our metaphor from last week, that was the moment when you saw beyond the God box that you normally operate in, and it's just like, wow. So take a moment and consider that, what that might be, and then find one person next to you or close to you and just share a piece of it. We don't have enough time to, and then just listen. No questions. Just listen to what that was and then trade places, okay? So is that clear enough? What was an aha, an insight? Boy, if you didn't get goosebumps, you're probably in a really warm place. Go ahead. Do that. You know, and what you just did, we talk about weaving the three strands of self, others, and God together. But what we don't talk about quite as often is putting a knot in it, the knotting. And that is what you talked about, what you shared was a knot experience for you. That's why you could recall it right now. And those knots are really, really important. You can distinguish them. Years later, you recall them. And they help hold those strands together. They help hold your weaving together. And they should. Those stories should be told. That's why all the weavings that might be in here, I all become indistinguishable. But this knot, I remember. And I enjoy it. Didn't have any trouble recalling it and sharing that story with Tim. Have those knots in your rope. Remember those. Share those stories. Celebrate them with others. They belong to us. They're your experience, but the community needs them. We want to, Tim, can you close us with?
I just have a little poem I'd like to end with. This is from Rumi, Jalaluddin Rumi, 13th century mystical poet. He didn't write things down. He just talked and people wrote things down in what's now Afghanistan. And he's talking about religion. He's talking about yearning here at the beginning. He says, I've lived on the lip of insanity, wanting to know reasons. Knocking on a door, it opens. I've been knocking from the inside. I have lived on the lip of insanity, wanting to know reasons. Knocking on a door, it opens. I've been knocking from the inside.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.